Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. Check us out online, thisweekinamerica.us. One of our favorite and most popular guests, Robert Maxim, back with us to share his incredible journey through several lifetimes, as far back as a million years, his blunders, triumphs, many worlds and places where these amazing experiences took place. And he writes about those in his legacy book series. Robert experienced several sleep time visits to other worlds as a child, witnessed countless alien craft. These experiences continue to date in both wake and sleep states. He studied concert piano at age 3, changed his calling to science following his visionary experiences. The book series is a culmination of these experiences shared with the world for the first time. It's the Legacy series. And if you're a frequent listener of the program, you know that Robert comes on. We take your questions. So as we're talking about things tonight, if you have questions, I'll tell you how you can get those to Robert. And we'll talk about those on a future program. Robert, welcome back to the program. It's been way too long here. A couple of weeks, we're back together again. Thank you for being with us.
It sure has been. I'm glad to be back.
Robert has been extremely busy professionally, and he's got a big event coming up in Las Vegas that we'll be talking about in the program today. Let's jump right into questions. We got a bunch of them we're going to get through during the course of the program tonight. This one is interesting. They're all interesting, this one particularly, because we keep talking about religion on here and different denominations. The question is, do you need to be part of a certain faith or denomination? How important is that?
Oh. Well, belonging to a belief system is really no different than choosing political association. It means division. It means seeking personal benefit and conforming to ideas and leadership that you really can't change. You can't do anything about those ideals. They are what they are. So I don't recommend doing it. God wants unity and tolerance, coexistence, not division. None of these beliefs actually use originals or even admit author errors, but ask any of them if they have the only truth. They will all say, I. So how is that possible or godly? No one, no book, and or no interpretation is truth. The only truth is God. Man invented religion, which basically means groupthink different than the other guy. That's really what it means. So bottom line is, it's a clique. A belief system is a clique. That's not what God had in mind. When we stop citing with specialized faiths and politics, that's when there will be peace and love on earth, but not before. Show people how to live, as Jesus once said in Matthew 29:18. Don't go out making divisions or separate beliefs. Try to coexist. Try to give instead of receive.
It's an interesting answer, and you are very knowledgeable in I'm going to refer to it as scripture, very knowledgeable, but you're saying you really don't need to be part of a tribe, of a group of people to do that. This obviously is something you've done and follow on your own.
I support everyone. I support every belief. I encourage people who are in a specific belief system to become more and more of what they are, but always do the research, always verify. And when you start verifying, then you begin to see that what you got into is probably not a good idea, theologically.
Okay. That's
and if we follow Jesus's guidelines, we should not be segregating ourselves into belief systems. We should be tolerant of what anybody understands or believes. We should not try to stop belief systems. But we should exercise caution that we should not be supporting one belief and not another. That's taking sides. We should support all of them. And whatever people decide to give into, and that's fine. we should not prohibit it. But for those who really want unity and peace, we should not be picking one.
Robert Maxim, our guest on This Week in America, coming to us via Skype. So if you're watching the video version of this, you'll see a glitch every now and then. It's Skype sometimes works very well, sometimes not quite so well. So we're using Skype so we can do the video version of the program. Information available at his website. In fact, you can submit questions at our website, thisweekinamerica.us, in the comments, or you can go to Robert's website, rgaetan, gaetan.com, and submit your question. Next one, can exorcism be used to remove the negative effects of our past lives?
Not recommended, no. You see, past life negations bring about obsessions, and in removing them, one must objectify what these obsessions or negative experiences are. We need to learn from them and do something positive during the experience. Exorcism is what I would call a type of scare tactic. And after a while, you will notice that the obsession comes right back after it finished being scared. So
yes.
Self-objectivity is a permanent thing. Unlike exorcism, this is one of the things that I'm going to be covering in that lecture that I'm going to give in Vegas on October 20th. I'm going to explain how all of this works. And if anybody is interested in attending that session, I do have RSVP information on the front page of my website. It's going to be a bilingual four-hour presentation. If people can't make it, it will be video recorded, so I will have those videos available on my website. One caveat about that meeting, I'm not getting paid for it. I don't want any remuneration of any kind, and I am just charging for the cost of the rental place. So this is going to be an innovative presentation where it will be different from others, where I will not be seeking any type of funding whatsoever.
And it's interesting because I understand that space is going rapidly, so I would suggest you look into this. It's October 20th in Las Vegas. A number, and I'll do this several times during the program, you can call for information to 702-239-4308. That's 702-239-4308. Mentioned this several times in the program. All of that is on the front page of Robert's website, rgaetan, gaetan.com, to get all the information. And I'm looking forward to getting a report and to watch the video and to see. It's got to be exciting times out there. We're taking listener questions, trying to get caught up on those. We've got many more to get through, hopefully during the program tonight, most of them. And we'd love to have your questions. So please submit it by going to either of our websites and doing that. The next question is, who is Dr. Norman, a gentleman we've mentioned numerous times on the program, and is he a true prophet?
Dr. Norman is one of those individuals that I most love because of all that he did and stands for. In Hebrew, the word Nabi or prophet means messenger. So Dr. Norman was a Nabi or a messenger for the higher spiritual worlds, and as good or as true as it can get. Very clear, very precise. And what he said back in the 50s is now being proven. At unariansunited.com, you will find an extensive write-up on his lifetime and his achievements. Reading about who he was and what he achieved, even as a child, is just outstanding.
And you will find that at the website unariansunited.com. All of the websites we're mentioning, by the way, we'll have with Robert's information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on directly to all of that information. Question from a listener, do all humans have eternal lives or just the chosen ones?
Everyone does, but only if they so want it. So, yes, all humans have eternal lives, but it's up to you to cash in on it.
Interesting. So it's there. It's basically, if we, how do we get eternal life? How do we take advantage of that?
Well, being progressively minded spiritually is the ticket to eternity. If you go back the other way, you eventually de-evolve and you absorb yourself into the infinite, and then you have to start all over again. So it pays to be progressive, and to be progressive you have to be objective and deadly honest with yourself, and always seek kindness and truth. That's the ticket.
Robert Maxim is our guest on This Week in America. Information available at the website thisweekinamerica.us. Taking listener questions tonight. This may be a strange question, but I'm curious. This is from the next question here. A man from my hometown recently died in a house fire. He was a very bad person. Is it possible that the way he died was a form of hell on earth?
Oh, yeah, I think I understand. From the perspective of the event and the person being self-destined, yes. Because we reap what we sow. Now, we must understand that we make our own hell down here. We do so over there, over here. Anywhere that we go, we are making that hell. Because it's not something that we're fabricating with our hands. It's something that we have in here. We have in the heart. So the heart is going to go with you wherever you go. Hell is going to follow us because it is in us. It's not outside of us. So if this person died in a house fire, well, his own actions made that happen. The fact that he acted unkindly or in ways that were, not very nice, well, that is part of the hell that he has in his own heart. And we all have that. We must understand that there's no such thing as good or bad. It's only what we conceive as being necessary to survive. There's a song that the Beatles wrote, and the lyrics went like, "All you need is love." And eventually, love finds you because you need it. You can't live without it. And of course, when you have love, then you are being progressive.
So it just helps. Just yes, that puts it all into terms that we can remember, and we'll be singing that song for the rest of the night. But the song really has a lot of meaning to it. So we appreciate that answer. Moving on to the next question: is there such a thing as time travel? Is that how you would describe your visits? It's an interesting question. Are your visits considered a form of time travel?
Well, time travel is factual. And my visits, though, are time zoning events. Every molecule, every atom, any star system in the universe is in a different time zone. In other words, time travels a different speed, different sync point with ours. It's almost like a parallel universe. Difficult to describe, but that is not necessarily time travel. So when you consider a visit is being done into, say, a dimension that is in a different time zone. I may be going to Venus for a visitation, for example. Time there runs very fast compared to ours, but it could have been 200,000 years ago, or it could be 20,000 years in the future. The time relevance is completely different, and not something that I can change. But these are sync events with time zoning. And on my website, on the Science tab, I just wrote an article that describes time zoning. And if anyone is interested, should read up on it. It will answer a lot of questions.
And like everything else, you break it down scientifically. This is not just theory you're throwing out there and hope that there's some validity to it. You actually have done the research. You are a scientist by training, so this is something that you put a lot of thought into, and you document that, and that's the Robert's website, rgaetan.com. And again, can't remember that, you're traveling, whatever, just remember thisweekinamerica.us, and you can link on directly. Next question, what can we learn from Atlantis? Self-destructive human behavior is rampant. Does that concern you?
We all repeat history almost 10 times a second from what I can see in myself, urged by negative forces, not only ours, but external, that are trying to make a historical rogue wave, assume power, induce pleasure, etc. People will be destructive until they realize and learn not to divide themselves into factions like animals for personal benefit or even force their agendas or beliefs on others. We have to learn to leave people alone and worry about ourselves, our own progression. This is what sunk Atlantis. I can lead better. Because really what I want to be the leader. But I'm not saying that. I just want to say that I can lead better. My way of doing things is better than the other guys. Well, really what I don't want to say is that I want praise for thinking different. But you see, this is how we always think. We think we're trying to do somebody a favor or do something better for somebody. But the reason behind it is not very nice at all. We have to remember universal law. And from the last program, I remember saying that everything for everyone else, nothing for me, and serve the elements. If we keep that in mind, the next time that we want to usurp or stick out in a crowd for our own sake, we ought to remember those three little phrases. Everything for everyone else. Nothing for me, and serve the elements. If we do that, our present world will not sink like Atlantis. But we have that opportunity before us, and that is perhaps the strongest message that I can give today. And I really appreciate the listener for bringing this up. This is extremely important.
Robert Maxim, our guest, the information we talk about, you'll find a lot of it at his website, rgaetan, G-A-E-T-A-N, rgaetan.com. Information also at unarianseunited.com. As I keep mentioning, you can link on directly from our website. Also, we talk about the Legacy Series. We'll get back to that. This is just a fascinating series. You can get information at Robert's website. You can look at the Legacy Series on Amazon and get all the information. We'll talk about that throughout the course of the program, but that's what got us connected, starting to talk about the Legacy Series, and ended up taking quite a few of your questions on every program, because as Robert talks, you have questions, and we go back to questions now. Is your instinct actually your past lives speaking to you?
Yes. However, our higher self instinct, or the inner voice, is in there as well. But only if we would only listen to it. For the most part, we just listen to our lower self, our lower desires, our instinct to be number one and to forget about everyone else, which is against universal law, like I just mentioned. So, yes, in the past lives is stuff that we've been learning. It's survival instincts. So we need to get over that. We need to start upgrading what we have in our soul and replace it with something a little bit more progressive.
Interesting answer. And again, all of this, you'll find scientific, a lot of great stuff at Robert's website. Question, if reincarnation is real, who am I? What is my core essence? Just based on my experiences in this life or a compilation of all my past lives? Got a bunch of them.
That's a loaded question.
Got a bunch of them in there. Yeah, got a bunch of them.
That's a good one.
He got his money's worth with commas in that. He got a big question.
Oh,
got a big question
okay. There.
Now you answer it. take it on. You got 30 seconds or less. See if you can answer that.
Oh, my. Here we go. well, I guess I can say that we're all a combination of all that we have adopted through countless lives. So our essence is how we express our.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Consciousness is our soul's eyes. It's the decision maker down here. And it's sent to instruct our lower nature that we built down here. In your soul, you have various conscious levels like mental floors, right? Like a stack of pancakes.
Okay.
Or states. Most of these levels you experience during death. When you suddenly have an idea, for example, that came from another conscious level. A change of mood, awareness of inner guidance. These are some of these other levels I refer to. And regarding death, when you die, you feel this feeling of freedom, of clarity. That's another conscious level. When you go through the tunnel of light, you are in another conscious level. These are all parts of you. These are you coexisting within the same soul at the same time. You have to read that science write-up so you can understand this. But if you can imagine a multi-floor building with an elevator. The elevator is your present consciousness. Each of the floors is a different part of you that you have built over time with different levels of intelligence. So all the way to the higher self, which is the highest floor, all the way down to the basement, which is your lower self. And the consciousness that you have now was instructed in a higher conscious level between lives. It was sent down here to act as a tutor for your lower self. So you could progress it upwards. But what happens is that we all fall into the trick. That lower self does not want to be taught. It wants to teach you. It doesn't want to change.
Right.
So this is the trap that we fall into. I know I said this very fast, and it was more than 30 seconds, my bad. But I think that explains how this compilation of lives. Don't forget, you're not just collecting information from your past lives. You are collecting information in these other conscious levels that you're working with. You're working with ideas. You're working with moods. You're working between lives and these different conscious levels. You're building those conscious levels too, just as you're the lower self. And guess what happens? When you progress your lower self up, guess what? These pancake levels that were above it, they are now going to be a lower self to you as your consciousness goes up and down. So as this building begins to get shorter and shorter and shorter, and you have fewer and fewer conscious levels, and you're building to try to join with this higher self, each of these layers is now beneath you. You're having to instruct them until you eventually combine with your higher self. You're now joined. And now what happens? You start a whole new building mission in another dimension. And this goes on and on. This is spiritual evolution. Don't think that when you finally join with your higher self that you've made it. You've only just begun to live.
There's another
that's another song.
Another song reference there. So we've got the Beatles and the Carpenters that we're paying tribute to here on the program tonight.
I think I just dated myself.
I'm the one that threw out the Carpenters there, so I guess I did too. So I'm just I'm sort of Casey Kasem on the program here tonight. And there's another reference that young people won't catch on to what we're talking about. But the information in more detail at Robert's website are gaetan.com. And once again, coming up, the big conference in October in Las Vegas, October 20th to be exact. 4 hours, space going quickly. The number to call for information, 702-239-4308. I'll mention that again several more times in the program if you want to jot that down. And all of this at Robert's website. All the information is there. So we'll keep you posted on that. Back to the questions. Can a soul that was once in an animal or plant work up and be reborn as a human? Does it also work the other way? A human can be reborn in another form.
Yes. And that's a conditional yes. Souls evolve up the ladder into sentience. In the cosmos, there are humans. You know, we've heard the stories. There's reptilians. There's insectoids, aquiloids, even plantoid forms that became sentient over time. Now, going back the other way would mean de-evolving, right? Or growing dumber and dumber. But it did happen to us at one time. Look who we were in Lemuria, the mental state that we had gained, and in Atlantis. And compare who we are now. We're genetically deformed. We're irrational animals with all sorts of genetic diseases. We have all sorts of mental conditions that, you know, we don't even know how to deal with. Do you think that's how we were in Atlantis? No. We de-evolved ourselves by resorting to negative mental attitudes, abuse of our physical body and mind, going after negative desires and obsessions, letting the obsessive negative forces work with us instead of the higher brothers, we just plunged down. So what's left is, you know, we still look human, but we don't act human. We're abnormal when it comes to the rest of the universe. Now, if we keep this up and people's dreams of becoming ape-like, I'll tell you what, that's just around the corner.
Wow. Stopping to absorb that, Robert Maxim, our guest on the program. If you go to the website thisweekinamerica.us, you will find the other 38 episodes that we've had with Robert. You'll find those at YouTube as well. We encourage your questions. We're taking questions on the program once again today. Encourage yours. If you go to the website thisweekinamerica.us, you'll find a comment section. That's where most of the questions come in from. Just send those to us, and I will pass those along to Robert. We will eventually get to them. You go to Robert's website and do the same thing, rgaetan, rgaetan.com. I will tell you, if you're going to choose between the two websites, his is much more interesting and science-based than ours is, so you'll have a lot more fun if you read his website. Back to the questions. I've thought of this often, and this has come up several times before. Can you control your visits and visions? Is that something that you have a command over, or do they just happen?
I wished, but no. I'm only a servant at my higher self's disposal. I do, and I go by what it says. I don't even wish to have control, because I know that for myself, that would be egotistical. So when the inklings come, when I'm going through some difficult times and the images come to me, when I'm working with another person and I see a past life relationship, or when I have a vision of another world, it is because my higher self said it was okay. It brought it to me. If I try to reach out for it, then I'm going to be digging up wrong information. And I hate to say this, but that's the way that a lot of people approach this field. They're forcing it. So, you know, what they see is not very reliable.
So they're trying to find something and they're forcing it. You're saying the best way is it will come to you. You don't have to go looking for it. It will come to you.
That's right. You have to have the preparation, and the preparation requires knowledge of what you are and what you want. Without that, you're going to be digging up at straws.
Do you think that we get signals, messages, often, I shouldn't say often, from time to time, and because we're not tuned into that, we don't really understand that we are getting some guidance?
That is correct. We're seeing past lives all the time, but, you know, we're thinking about what my friend said last night really upset me, and this driver ahead of me is going too slow, and gosh, I got to be at work tomorrow early, and I got to pay my bills. This TV show is coming up. I want to see that TV show. How are we ever going to listen? We're not listening. We're stuck in kind of like in bowling. We're going down the gutter. We're not mainstream. We're not clear. And a lot of visionaries, they are in the gutter. And the only thing they want fame. So they're going to invent things. We don't want to play invent. We want to be so honest. If we are not honest with ourselves for some time and begin to sift out all of these negative influences that we live from day to day, we're not going to be clear. We're not going to see the past. We will not have that contact that we seek.
Robert Maxim with us on This Week in America as we are taking your questions on the course of the program today. Information at the websites that I've mentioned. Next question, based on your visions and knowledge, can you see into the future?
At times, not of my own choosing, but again, the will of the higher self.
Interesting. Yeah. I love the answers in. As you're listening, I'm sure you have your own questions, and please submit those. A lot of those, if you go and spend some time at Robert's website, you'll find the answers that are there scientifically backed. So go to the website, argaton.com. Is it difficult to interact with aliens? When you interact with aliens, talk about that experience. Is it difficult?
No, it shouldn't be. Let me put it that way. It's like talking to a brother or a sister. But our dishonesty and ego is what makes it difficult. Try holding a conversation with someone that's helplessly insane. That's us by comparison. Aliens would basically be the shrink trying to help you.
Okay.
So that's why are we insane? Because we're polluted with everything that's going on in this world. We have to put it aside. It's the only way we're going to gain clarity.
Argaton is the website to get all the information, RGAETAN.com. If you go to Unarians United, you'll find a lot of information there as well. And I keep mentioning that because I know a lot of you are listening and would like to get further information. Those are the sources that you should use. New question, is it possible we have a guardian angel, possibly from our past lives, that are watching out for us, maybe providing our gut feelings and reactions? Once again, a question talking about gut feelings, intuition, that type of thing. I guess the first part of that, do we have a guardian angel? Does that exist? Is there such a thing?
Well, yes. It's what I call the higher self. Everybody comes with one. But it is countless conscious levels between here and it. There's also a celestial brotherhood that's working in concert with us as advisors. And the question before we asked, is it difficult to interact with aliens? Well, don't think of assistance as some sort of some physical person from another planet. Think also spiritual beings from celestial dimensions as well.
You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us, all the information there on the programs. Is there a difference between a vision and a visit?
Oh, yeah. A vision is a receptive state of mind that receives information from a mind force, which could be your own higher self. A visit is an extension of your consciousness into another conscious level, environment, or world, whether it be higher or lower. And sometimes that consciousness can be so different from the one you presently have that you would be in a state where you really cannot even remember what you saw because it is so foreign to you. That's how high that conscious level is. That's happened to me many times. And I've had to, when that's happened, I've had to be aware that I am at a very high conscious level, and I really have to concentrate to make sure that I latch on to that conscious level, clarify myself, objectify myself, and really sync with it.
Robert Maxim, our guest on the program, his website, rgaten.com. And we'd love to have your questions. You can submit those by going to our website or to Robert's website. Next question. To the best of my knowledge, I've never had a vision. Is it possible I still may, or is it too late?
Well, let me ask this. Rick, have you ever had an idea?
Occasionally, yes.
Okay. That was a vision. That was a vision. If we don't know that, we'll never be in a mental ready state to be receptive. This is very natural. But as you can see, our awareness is in limbo or in disbelief half the time, not understanding how this works. And that's why it appears that it doesn't happen. But it is the norm.
So we tend to think of a vision as some big theatrical event where we have thunder, lightning, strobe lights, that type of thing. And you're saying if we have an idea, that's very possible a vision.
It is. It is. Even if you even seek in the Bible, it even explains it that way. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. It's very clear about that, especially chapter 13.
Interesting. So for those of us that think, I never have a vision, everybody else has a vision, I don't have a vision, chances are we've had a number of them during the course of the day. Every idea, I guess, would be a vision.
That's right. Inkling, sense of danger. I mean, even dreams can be visions. Everything. We just don't know that it is, so we don't pay attention.
That is fascinating. So basically, I am a visionary. I would fall in that category.
We all are. No exceptions.
Okay, I've never been called a visionary before, but that's a fascinating explanation for those. And we have a form of that question we've had several times, like almost feeling left out because I'm not getting visions. Chances are you've had a number of them during the course of the day. Next question, see if I get these pronunciations right. We are learning that the Cassini spacecraft found building blocks of life on Saturn's moon Enceladus. Do you believe that is possibly evidence of life there?
Oh, sure. I have no doubt. I've been following that very closely. The probe's findings are indisputable. It's a salty ocean. It is believed that thermal ocean vents are providing the catalyst for life. The probe literally flew through a water jet coming off the moon, and it picked up hydrocarbons and all kinds of stuff. That's how it tasted the water and found out what it had. But don't stop there. Titan, Europa, Ganymede, they are all positive life candidates. Even Io. So, yes, it is. Right now, they don't want to say it's confirmed. They want to be very careful. But you have hydrocarbons and you have salt and you have heat.
And you have the science tab on your website. You give us a little bit of the background. You worked with NASA, as I recall, for a while.
I worked for NASA. I was part of the Mariner and the Voyager missions to Mars and beyond. I was at Mission Control in Pasadena for NASA, helping to collect the sample pictures coming across our Sigma 7 systems and then being put to tape. I was also involved in running the imaging laboratory where we were making mock-ups, three-dimensional mock-ups of Mars, for example. But this one day, we had these set of pictures that came from Saturn. So the probe was on top of Saturn, looking down in the rings. Guess what we saw in the rings? These 10,000-mile-wide letters appearing on the rings. They were not shadows. They were letters. And how we knew they were letters is because the letters changed with each picture. And the letters were repeatable. Now, we had a conference there at JPL. The news media was called. This was back in 81, 82 time frame. We showed the pictures. Everybody was excited. You know, there's life on Saturn. Somehow, that message was scrubbed from the news media. I have no idea by who. But just about every radio and TV station in LA was up there in Pasadena for this one-hour presentation. And the message vanished.
So you think it was intentionally suppressed?
I believe so.
That is, it's part of you I didn't know. I knew you were with NASA, but you were right there on the ground level with a lot of this exploration that we talk about. And when you'll see pictures that Robert has, and these are pictures that he has verified. These are not pictures that have come out of the National Enquirer. These are pictures that he has verification for. And again, the website is rgaetan, GAETAN.com, and link on directly by going to our website. Question, occasionally I feel I've been somewhere before, although it's my first visit. I also meet people for the first time, but I have a feeling I know them. Could these be fleeting memories of past lives?
In a way, they are. Maybe it's not the same place or the same person from the past, but there's enough similarity that can trigger a response. Psychologists think that deja vu is really a mental condition and you have to take pills. Nah. It's simply a state of nostalgia or reminder from a previous event. And you see, this deja vu, what this listener is talking about, is a vision. See, this is a vision. It's not quite well interpreted or interpolated in some ways, but it's there. It's trying to make its mark. So if the listeners would pay attention to that and realize this is not happening by accident, no, I don't need to take this pill to make me normal. No, you are normal the way you are. You just have to learn how to work with this thing and pay attention. And the more you pay attention, the clearer it's going to become.
So we're back to that vision thing that really enters our lives a whole lot more, I think, than we ever realized. Fascinating discussions here tonight. Next question, how many life misconceptions are based on bad Bible translations? What are some of the most common? And we've talked before about the different translations out there. And I forget the number you put on that, but there's like, you know, what, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of different translations out there, each one putting a little different spin in a different area.
It's countless. There's at least, the last time I checked, there were 43,000 different Christian organizations throughout the world. Not churches, belief systems. 43,000. And I think this is the place where the belief police is going to knock on my door and take me away.
That's right. If we hear somebody at the door during the program, they're coming for Robert, and he may not be back with us for legacy number 40.
Well, the New Testament, this may come as a shock. The New Testament from the book of Acts going forward does not jive with the teachings of Jesus. I like to call it Paulinism. Paul the disciple, Paulinism.
Okay.
Because he basically wrote most of this stuff. And what he has to say, what he recommends, Jesus never said those things. He was in the Jewish priesthood. He was renowned for his tough stance on the law. And what he's putting in there is a lot of his own beliefs. It's not necessarily that he was inspired by God. Just compare the two. There's just no comparison. And some of the books that are attributed to Paul are not even his. Now, I'll give you an example. The word palingenesia is translated in modern times as regeneration. Palingenesia is used by Jesus and is used by Titus chapter 3, verse 5. You can look it up. It says regeneration, but you know what it really means? It's the Greek reserved word for reincarnation. There's an endless list of teachings that are changed because people in the religious field did word replacements and simplifications. Word replacements because the subject did not go along with the belief, so I better use a different word. Okay, now it jives with my belief. Simplifications because, well, if I simplify it, people will be able to, people don't need that much information. They just need the basics. That way they don't ask that many questions. Crowd control. You know, it's sad. It's sad to see that. So, yes, there's tons of changes. But when you read the original Greek, not the present day, once you do that, I guarantee you, you will not ever read another translation ever again.
Fascinating answer, and Robert has tackled this a number of times, and that's all in the archives that we have at the website thisweekinamerica.us. Question, how many life, I read that, can we reincarnate on another world or just this one? Is it possible for beings of other worlds to reincarnate here?
Yes to both, but a word of caution. For us to live elsewhere, we have to be as they are. For brothers to incarnate where they must have a mission, that is key. So there are developing beings that are born here to experience and overcome hell in a matter of speaking. Others, like I mentioned, the brothers incarnating with a mission, they have incarnated here. I'll give you some names. How about Galileo, Descartes, modern times, let's even consider Einstein. They were all brothers, and they volunteered to come here and help evolve us with mathematical, scientific, and even religious concepts to help steer us along in the right direction.
Robert Gayton, our guest on the program, fascinating. I keep saying that because they all are. It sort of takes a second after an answer to let it all sink in. That's why you should get the recording of this, and you can go back and play it and listen to it several times to make sure you get the full impact of the answer. Question, why were you chosen for visits and visions? Are there responsibilities expected of you?
Well, I volunteered to do so before being born as part of my personal development. So I have a stake in this, and I have to do it right. And yes, responsibility-wise, my plate is full. I have to be super honest. I have to be very careful with what I divulge and when and to who. Extra clear with what I say. At least I try. I cannot invent or make things up just because I want to, without evidence. I must also do so selflessly.
Robert Gayton with us
overcome or to share, this is critical.
We had just a glitch there. Robert Gayton with us on This Week in America, coming to us on the program via Skype. This is program number 39 that we've done. So this has become a thing that we've got here with all of the questions, and we'll keep doing them until we get all the way through them. Time for a couple more on the extended version of the program today. You often talk about our higher self. What exactly is that?
Well, it is the highest, most spiritually developed level of consciousness in our soul. What you are attempting to convert your lowest nature into by a process of reincarnation. It is your advisor, your guardian, your inspiration, your angel, and what Jesus called the Father or the kingdom within. Your life is to become as one with it someday. And as I explain a couple of questions before. You have this building, you're evolving, you're taking all of these floors in this building, life after life, escalating them up, 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 until you get to the top floor of that building. That's your higher self. You become one. All of those consciousnesses become one with a higher self, and now you're set to take off again, another dimensional building, and start evolution from that point up now. So evolution is endless. Infinity is just that. Infinite. No end.
Time for another question or two here. This sort of what you were talking about before when you were working with NASA. Does the government have pictures and information proving life on other planets they are not showing us?
Oh, I love this listener. Listener, please send me an email. I want to talk to you. The answer is absolutely. If you go to my website, you will see them. The pictures on my site were taken by NASA, not somebody with a cheap old Polaroid camera out in their bedroom. Nuh-uh. By NASA. And it's proof positive. You see trees. You see animals. You see spacecraft. Moon, Mars, Saturn. I show these in the evidence tab on my website. Please have a look. They're remarkable.
Why would they want to suppress that, a word that I'd used before when we were talking about that, for fear of what the reaction would be?
Well, tell you what, if you make that the first question for the next time, give me half an hour to answer it.
Okay, we'll start off with that one, the next one. Let's slide one more in. We'll come back and start off the show. I'll keep people waiting on that one. Why are they suppressing this information? We'll end up with this one. How often are you contacted? Is there any schedule, regularity?
Well, let me put it this way. If we are not constantly being contacted, we're doing something wrong. Your higher self must be in constant contact with you. Let me flip that around. We should be in constant contact with our higher self. In other words, always. By other beings, like from Mars or some other planet, physical, well, it is by their choosing that you will have a contact, and it varies. At times, it goes on for weeks. At others, less than a second. But I strive not to be necessarily bothering beings of other planets. They have their own life. They have their own evolution and things to overcome. I don't try to bother them. I don't try to say, well, would you come down? I want to see your spacecraft so that I'm convinced that, yes, I am in contact and you're listening to me and I'm not just dreaming this. We have to leave those beings alone. They will contact us when it's our time. But when it comes to the higher spiritual beings and the higher self, we have to have that constant contact. That is more important to have than any contact with any other being on any other planet, because the higher self is your future and your lifeline. These beings from other planets are not. They are just your friends, your brothers. They are not there to help you make the jump to another world.
We have covered so much ground on tonight's program. If you missed it, you can pick it up by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. This basically will be labeled as Legacy 39 in the podcast section. You'll be able to listen or download the program. Go to YouTube, again, our channel, and you can get to it by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You'll see the video there. You'll be able to watch past videos as well. Questions you can submit to thisweekinamerica.us in comments, or you can do it at Robert's website, which is rgaetan, GAETAN.com. And we mentioned coming up October 20th in Las Vegas. That will be the conference there. Information on Robert's website, a number to call for information, is 702-239-4308. 702-239-4308. Robert, as always, just a really interesting program tonight. Thank you so much for being with us. Good luck on the event in Las Vegas. I'm sure the place will be packed. A lot of great information. Anxious to get more information on that. Thank you for being with us once again.
Oh, my pleasure. Let's do it again.
And we will do that. We will invite your questions, and you can do that by contacting either Robert or myself, thisweekinamerica.us, and we'll get your question on the next program. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.